First class trip across the Atlantic. Make sure you put them laces out. I've been out and about, and I'm loud, cause I found another sound. And I'll pound on the ground for my guys across the pond. Kick is matter, that's the song. Trust me when that word is blown. Y'all can clap, clap, sing along. But on a wheel, they got some real deal analysis. Take the wheel, I think I feel like a catalyst. For this build, you know your boy is never out of it. Matter of fact, I think I'll go and win a championship. KMWO, KMWO, man, you know how this go, yeah. KMWO, kick is matter, world order, man, y'all already know, let's go.
Hello, welcome along to the Fantasy Football Dynasty podcast. I'm joined by Mr. Tim Lees. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Back from holiday, so I'm not refreshed, even in the slightest.
You're not refreshed?
Been away with the kids for 4 days, so I'm suitably shattered. They've definitely got more energy than me these days.
And he has just finished munching on a curry, to be fair, as well. So we're having a bit of a change up from now on. We're not doing start sits anymore because predominantly that's more redraft based. And if you play Dynasty, you should kind of know who should start sit. Feel free to come to us for any start sit advice. But we're going to be focusing on Dynasty aspects moving forward. So to start off with tonight, we're going to look at the 2020 rookies and what we would do now. Now we're halfway through the season, nearly. Jesus, halfway through the season. Exactly. We're going to take a look at them and what we would do now, where we'd rank guys, etc. Might have a look at some potential. Might have a look at some trades that we've done actually recently. In Dynasty Leagues. I know I spoke to you earlier, Tim, about one I just done, an orphan I took over yesterday, because I can't say no. We're getting to a couple of them, and we've got some listening questions as well, so we'll get to them as well. Tim, have you got, before, because I haven't spoke to you since, have you got over Dak?
Oh, mate, no is the answer, and it's a little bit like fuck sports at the moment for me, because I'm a Liverpool fan, and after watching that Liverpool-Everton game the week after Dak got done, I'm just like, what's going on? Like,
that injury... You didn't go and sign that petition, though, did you?
No. No,
you didn't, that petition to get Jordan Pickford absolutely banned, and
I don't agree with any of that, but what I do think is if... And this is for any sport, right? And, you know, if you want to class F1 as a sport, anything like that, if you're willing to endanger that fellow professional to be able to not play that sport, you know, endanger their future career, then there needs to be some kind of backlash, retribution, or whatever it is. And that'll just naturally happen now because the ref didn't do anything because of he's not come out in the media and really said anything. It's just come via other people. It is just somebody's either going to do him or the next derby. It's just going to be horrific. And you saw it with players like Vontaze Burfict who'd just go out and just try and nail people. At some point, somebody tries to go for them or the name's just tarnished because... You've seen it with pundits and people who talk about that respect you have for fellow professionals. It's not like the old days where you used to be able to throw in the eye challenges. They try and protect sports people because that's what we want to see. We want to see the best players on the pitch all the time, no matter the sport. And just to go back to the Dak thing, it's such a shame because of the contract year and also how he was playing. I think he was playing great. He has done since he came in. And I just don't...
He was playing lights out. Yeah. He was playing lights out. Yeah, it is a shame. And well, after seeing Andy Dalton's performance the other day, there's certainly no danger there of the Cowboys not re-signing Dak.
I mean, I think KV and Byron take a little bit of a hit there because they, you know, they were saying he's going to be lights out for the Cowboys. He's just not. He's just not on the same field. He's just not good enough in comparison to Dak. And I think that is difficult as a comp because Dak, for me, he's been the only QB for the Cowboys since I've really got into the sport. And to me, he's been magnificent. So to take the reins after that, I think is tough. But also, it just shows that Dalton's just not the guy. He's just not got it.
Yeah, agreed. Luckily for you, the NFC East is a shit show. So,
I mean, is it?
Yeah, whoever wins that division is not going very far in the playoffs. Put it that way. Yeah. This year. Yeah. Well, it won't be my Giants anyway after last night, but we'll move on. I don't want to talk about the Giants. So we're going to look at our Dynasty rookie rankings and where we'd have guys. But we're going to do a bit different. We're going to do it position by position. Let's start with the wide receivers because I'm going to be quite smug. I had Justin Jefferson at, and I say smug, I say it like in jest. This is a very good wide receiver class. But I had Justin Jefferson as my wide receiver one in this class coming out. That's not changed. He's been lights out and he's everything I thought he would be. I got scoffed at in the offseason for having him as my wide receiver one, but I just saw to me, Justin Jefferson is a better version of Adam Thielen. And Adam Thielen's a very good player. Justin Jefferson's a better version of him. So when he landed with the Vikings, I loved the spot, especially when Diggs went. There was a lot of buzz in the offseason. Oh, yeah, he's the wide receiver 4 or 5 on that team. He's not doing very well in practice. I think we can just put all that to bed now. And I think there's the legitimate answer. A legitimate question, sorry. He could be the wide receiver one on that team.
Yeah. Easy. And he'll naturally take over for Thielen. I see Thielen more as a faster tight end these days, to be fair, where he's going to be working more in the slot. And I think that they're just going to try and, you know, work into certain matchups. And Jefferson's going to be the go-to guy. As soon as he starts getting double coverage, though, I think you'll see Thielen's numbers shoot up. But he's the legitimate wide receiver one then. I think it's great to see. One of the most interesting takes with you and Jefferson is he was your highest ranked player coming out of that amazing LSU team. You know, you had him ranked higher than Burrow, I think. And you liked him a lot more than CEH, which, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit. But
yeah, we will.
So for me, I think he's been great to watch. I mean, he's still not my rookie wide receiver one, but to me,
the stats will tell you he is the rookie wide receiver one. But I know you're going to say CD, who was your one before and is still now, and I'm not even going to argue with it. Like Justin Jefferson for me, I would take over CD, but I have CD very high out of this class as well, and CD again landed in the perfect spot. And eventually, for me, will become the wide receiver one in Dallas.
Yeah,
So that orphan team. We'll talk about that trade now. I orphaned a team yesterday that was 0-6, and it had CD Lamb and Amari Cooper on the team. So the team's got no chance this year. So I thought I'm going to move Amari Cooper on. I want to keep CD because CD is the future for the Cowboys for me. So I want to keep CD. I've moved Amari Cooper on and I got DJ Chark in back and a second round pick, which I was very happy about. But yeah, you took more. You're a Cowboys fan. You've seen more CD than me, but I think he's been brilliant as well in his rookie campaign.
I mean, picking between those two and I mean, CD and Jefferson's like picking between a Lamborghini and a Ferrari, right? You're going to be happy. either way. Like you've got elite talent that, you know, touch wood, injuries, other dickhead players like that, they'll be in the game for a long time. They'll be in the wide receiver one conversation for a long time, touch wood. So, but for me, watching CD in the games when, you know, Cowboys haven't been great. I mean, when Dak was there, we're chucking for like 500 yards a game or something. And he's getting a big target share. And what he's not just getting the target share, he's also getting trusted yards. And trusted yards are a big thing that that Gallup gets, that Amari Cooper's got as well. But it just shows that with those three, Dak knows he can trust either one of them to get that first down, to get to the right point. There's not going to be a lot of drops from them. I know Amari's got some of his drop issues, but CD's gone up there. He's won contested catches. And also, he's doing a load of, you know, punt returning as well. He's not doing kickoff returning, but he's doing a lot of punt returning. And being part of that special teams, I think Dez used to talk about it as well, how that helped him bring different parts to his game. Like all the yak that used to get, or just how he'd then see a field differently once he had the ball in his hands, because you can move more like a running back, especially in those early years. Dez obviously didn't do that towards the end, but he did at the beginning. So I think CD is my wide receiver one. Little bit of rose-tinted glasses at home a pick, but you know, there's nothing to pick between him and Jefferson at the moment for me, other than the stats, which, you know, he's done well.
They will tell you, they'll tell you Jefferson's better. But I'm not, you're talking about two elite talents that I think you're going to, well, you will struggle to buy either of them in Dynasty Leagues at the minute.
Yeah. You will struggle. They're not many waiver wires, are they?
Well, no, don't talk to me about waiver wires. But either of them are not. If a competing team's got them, they're going to want to keep them. And if a team that's in a blow-up situation, they're going to want to keep them. It's probably impossible to buy them unless it's never impossible in Dynasty, but you're going to have to give up multiple firsts.
I was thinking about this before, and I was like, because it was one of our questions, and we'll do it now while we're on the topic. And Kev said, you know, what would it take to get these rookies, or the top three wide receiver rookies, I think he was on about. And to get somebody like that off you're talking about a player in a first or a player in a second. And where I'm talking about a player in a first and a player in a second, it will depend on where you're at, Jack. But if somebody was really tanking and just thought, do you know what? I am going to pay over the odds, but I think in the future that this gets me. If somebody offered you Devonte Adams and a second, what would you do for Jefferson?
I'd decline it.
Oh, you can't.
No, I would, because I see Devonte Adams as a bit of an injury prone player now. I would decline it, mate. I really would. And I would decline it for CD as well. I think they're very special, these two. And it would take something incredible to get Justin Jefferson or CD Lamb off me. And I'm talking, I'd want two first round picks and something else. Maybe not of a Devonte Adams level, but I'd want something else. I'd want maybe a DJ Chark, someone like that.
Yeah, I think if I'm on for the win this year, and this is where you think about things in the season and more of a redraft there, especially when you're getting in towards those playoffs, sometimes you will go, right, okay, I need that elite level talent. I'm going to give up shit tons to get to that point. But, you know, it's rare. Normally, if you're right in the mix or you're at the top of the league, you're there because your squad's good enough and you don't necessarily need to make such a big move. It's normally when you're fair to middling and you think you can make that push. So,
but that's what I mean. I see it as... I see where you're coming from, because you could... I could be tanking, for instance, and then you could be really in competition. So I could probably go to I'll give you, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a, so I'll give you Devontae Adams plus, I don't know, a second round pick for Justin Jefferson. And then, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. But I think these two are very hard to trade for.
Yeah.
Whatever the situation, they're going to be very hard to trade for going forward. I think your window is gone. I don't think there is a window.
But I mean, that's it. You saw it the day after we did rookie drafts, and we did them, what, in March? Even just as they got signed to other teams, that was your point to go and get certain players, because people dropped Lamb a little bit at that point because they were like, oh, he's not going to get the targets. He's not going to get any of the work.
Yeah.
And that was when
I didn't actually. I actually said Lamb could have a rookie season like Odell Beckham.
Yeah, you did. And I said he's going to get a ton of slot work. And if he doesn't get the slot work, then he's going to get a load on the outside. Which has been weird because he's been mixed between the two, with Gallup getting a lot of the outside work and Amari switching with Lamb. But mate, they're great, and there's some other great ones that are coming through as well. I mean, where did you have Chase Claypool?
I had Claypool quite low in my rankings actually, so I had him as my wide receiver. So I'm just trying to work it out in my head. I had him as my wide receiver 10 in this class. So I missed, that's a miss for me, and I can own that. Claypool's been brilliant, and Jason summed it up well the other day, actually. Claypool's been brilliant in two games. Let's not pretend that he's been good all season. He's been good because of a Deontay Johnson injury, and Deontay's back this week, so I want to see what happens. But I think Jason summed it up perfectly. Claypool, I can see as well where he's coming from, is what they wanted Martavis Bryant to be.
Yeah.
But Martavis Bryant loves the drugs. So, that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted in Bryant. So, yes, he's good. But I want to see what happens with Deontay Johnson. He's certainly the wide receiver 3 there now. Whatever happens. You could argue he's the wide receiver 2 because I've lost all faith in Juju at the minute. Others will too. He's going by low on Juju, but I think he needs to get out of Pittsburgh, to be honest with you, and go somewhere else. I said this to Jason the other day, actually. I see Juju Smith as Jarvis Landry. And that's not a knock, because Jarvis Landry is a good player. But I think that sort of player needs an alpha wide receiver 1 on the outside to do well in fantasy.
Yeah.
And that's what you see in Cleveland, because you have Odell Beckham on the perimeter, and then you've got Jarvis Landry in the slot. That is why Landry eats in that system. With Juju, and because teams are just double covering Juju at the minute, and this is why you're seeing Claypool having blow-up games. James Washington scored a touchdown the other day. Deontay Johnson. Well, one thing's for sure, the Steelers are very good at evaluating wide receiver talent.
I had this argument with, I brought up Kavy as well. I had this this discussion because Kavy doesn't like it when he says, when you say anything like, you know, the Steelers, you know, they breed or find great wide receivers. I think what they're brought into with that system with Big Ben specifically and you know, Tomlin, who's been there a long time, is that they're going to scheme these guys open and they know how to play coverage really well. And Big Ben reads the field really well. I think he does. He has the games, you know, the away games where he throws 4 or 5 interceptions, but, you know,
he's actually looked really good this year, Ben.
Look brilliant.
Ben's looked really good this year. And not enough people are talking about them for the Super Bowl because their defense is legit.
Team's legit. Brilliant. I mean, James Conner's playing well. They've got great backups in Snell. And people, you know, the whole team's great. But for me, Claypool, I love those shit videos that come out from training camps and stuff. You know, when you see, you know, people...
That's when you want to go and buy low on people. Yeah. When you see it, you're just like, right, I'm going to go out and buy this person.
And it was when he was doing somersaults and stuff. And you're like, and he was... I heard an interview where he talks about his athleticism. And it's like he's almost, when he gets the ball, he can make stuff happen because his yak's going to be incredible. So I'd actually got quite a few shares of Claypool, and I had him, you know, I've just mocked up what my rankings would be. And he was around the seventh or eighth for me in the wide receivers, just because I love that athleticism. And I also love somebody who can be exceptional once they've got the ball in the hands. Because I think that sets people up for big yardage plays. And also it really makes people panic when covering, because they don't know whether or not they should stick with them or double up or anything. I think you're going to have an offense now with Pittsburgh where Juju's going to start eating, because the people are going to start looking and going, we can't give an inch of space to Washington, to Deontay, to Claypool. So yeah, for me, he's expensive now. Don't go and buy him now. If you've got him, I think sell him, because what you're talking about, Deontay, he could help with a nice fat zero this week.
But yeah, this might be the week to try and buy into him. If Deontay comes back, does some bits and pieces, this might be the week to buy low on Claypool.
Yeah. Or sell high.
Yeah. Let's move on to we'll go with Jerry Jeudy, and Jerry Jeudy's looked good in patches. Much better when Drew Locke's the quarterback. I'm not really going to judge Jeudy. I had him as my wide receiver three in this class anyway, so he doesn't move from there for me. Going back to Claypool will certainly go above a couple of these other guys I've got coming up in a minute. But he won't move above Jerry Jeudy. I think Jerry Jeudy is a far more elite talent. Yeah. I'm not going to buy into this Tim Patrick stuff. Tim Patrick's been there. No. Anyone can have a blow up game like he did. It's not. Tim Patrick is what they wanted from Courtland Sutton. Obviously, Courtland Sutton's on IR for the season, which is disappointing. Jeudy remains as my number three, and I'm quite happy to keep him there.
Yeah. We're talking about elite talent, and also sometimes you can get that kind of stuttering offense, and that's where the Broncos are at now. Injuries hit. Drew Lock's just come back. You know, he started the game last week great, and then he was horrific. I think minus points for the week. So you know, it's going to be tough for him to really get a stride and into his stride if these injuries keep happening. Courtland Sutton's a big loss for him, because he'll have took so much attention elsewhere. Now he's getting that double coverage, and he's getting the good cornerbacks on him. So. Mm-hmm. His learning's going to go through the roof, but it just might not be the season for him. But he's a buy low right now. If anyone's panicking on whether or not he's got the talent, buy him now. Yeah. He's going to be a stud next year for you, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably give up someone like a DJ Chark for Jerry. If you're in a rebuild, I would go and target a Jerry Jeudy owner and just go, right, I'll give you DJ Chark, for example, for Jerry Jeudy. Just something like that. I think you could probably do that, and you get the straight swap.
Yeah, I think you'd be able to get that. I'd be potentially looking at another player and a second, maybe if you could pop. I mean, Corey Davis was free at the beginning of the season, right? If you can pop like Corey Davis in a second for Jerry Jeudy, I mean,
I don't think you're gonna call Corey Davis. I think that was just a bit of a flash in the pan. I think that window's probably gone as well now to sell him.
you might be right, but it's players of that ilk where you know they're having a little bit of a boom or bust.
Yeah.
Bust time right now. I mean, if Corey Davis comes back, and because he's just come IR with COVID, if he has another couple of weeks, he's a massive sell for me, because I got him off a couple of times.
I tell you who I would give up for Jerry Jeudy, Will Fuller.
I'm not taking it, but I tell you what, he's got the makings of a great season this year, Fuller.
Yeah, he does. But I think people may bite on that. So if you're in a rebuild, that is Jerry Jeudy, someone you should target anyway. These other two here, Rager and Pittman, I'm not really going to go too much into them, because just haven't seen anything from either of them due to injury. The disappointing thing with me for Pittman was is Paris Campbell. When Pittman was healthy, Paris Campbell was lighting it up, who has also gone into IR now, which is another disappointment. So I don't want to judge either of these two, but I think the Eagles made a grave mistake in not taking Justin Jefferson over Jalen Reagor.
Big time. They panicked because they thought they were getting Lamb. I mean, we can talk about the Eagles' draft choices all night. It's a big mistake. They should have took Jefferson, but I mean,
it's all in hindsight as well.
I mean, Reagor was just another speed guy to me for them, and it just didn't make sense. So
I've got Claypool's moved above both of them too for me. And has this guy as well, T. Higgins. So do I. And I like T. Higgins in the process, the draft process. But he's certainly gone above both of them too, Reagor and Pittman for me. He's just, there's an argument to say that he's overtaken AJ Green in that offense now as well. So it's the future's bright for T. Higgins. But another player I think you're going to find, I think you'd find it very hard to buy him now.
Yeah, I mean, he was a rookie first round pick for most late round first round pick, and you're not getting him for that now. Absolutely not getting him for that now. I love that Bengals offense. I mean, they were horrific in the second half of the game last week, but it's so nice to see Burrow's doing his thing and getting people like Higgins involved. I think next year that they could be really good if they have another good draft. It could be great. I mean, there's still a lot of holes in the team, but Higgins has been lights out great. Somebody who I had Higgins above this person, but they're comparable for me is Chenault. And I know Alan's been a big fan, but he's been exciting to watch this year.
Yes, he has,
I think the fact that you could use him as a running back if you really wanted to. It's just somebody, once the ball's in his hands, he's exciting, but he's really powerful in the catch. The point of the catch is great. So is Higgins, by the way. His hands are fantastic. So, and they've shown everything that they did in the college career in the NFL. And I think that's the biggest positive that you can see out of these guys is, normally you get people, they just don't adapt or they really take that struggle. And you look at previous, first round picks or second round picks of wide receivers. There's always been that little bit of a lag to get in and get involved. All these people we're talking about, they've adapted so quickly in a COVID preseason. I think that screams that these guys are, this could be one of the best wide receiver classes that we've seen come through.
Yep, no, I agree. Chenault for me, it could have been a wide receiver one in this class, but he just has a lot of injury concerns. And they seem to have followed him into the NFL a little bit, a lot of niggling injuries at the minute with him. He's been brilliant. He has been really good. And it's a promising sign for the Jaguars. I think I was a bit more down on him because he went to the Jaguars, to be honest with you. But they've used him well. They've used him how he should be used. So a couple of other players here. These are first round of the guys. So Ruggs and Ayuk, I didn't like either of them. Ruggs has been the more promising for me. I think Ayuk's going to... Debo for me is the number one receiver for San Francisco. After Kittle's the number one wide receiver there, but it's Debo for me. I'm not an Ayuk fan, never was in this process. I've got a guy I'm going to talk about in a minute above him. I've got two guys and they're still comfortably above him for me. Ruggs has probably moved down my rankings a little bit as well. Which I don't really know how... It's hard to judge Ruggs because I don't think you've got the quarterback there that suits his style.
And Also, that, I mean, the wide receiver room there is just a mess. Brian Edwards going down, getting injured.
Yeah,
it's just a mess. And the one thing I'll say for Ayuk is Debo not being there has given him that kind of gadget player ability. I played him in a couple of leagues where I'm tanking and I'm playing a load of rookies, to be fair, and just building through my team. And he's picked up some decent scores. The problem is the QB situation there is dire. Injuries all over the shop. And the 49ers just don't look the team that they were last year, mainly through injuries, to be honest. But I'd say he's coming, he's doing the Debo role in so many plays that you know that there's not the future there for him, even if he picks up the points now. So he's a sell high for me. If he has another good week, then he's a sell in any leagues. I only have him in two. He's a sell for me. I think you could pick him up. He went in the first round. You could pick him up in round two, round three of certain rookie drafts. And, you know, if you can get good value for him, then go and get it. I just worry about the longevity with him. And Ruggs, I've got him in one league, which is the League of GMs one, which is where we did an auction.
Yep.
And
I'm smashing that, by the way. Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, you are, mate. But you did in the auction. I've unfortunately had some injuries, so I've done a big cost reduction in there. So I'm going to be lightning in the rookie draft, mate. But I've got Ruggs in that. I just hate everything about the Raiders, to be honest. There's nothing. I don't really like picking up Jacobs, who's been poor this year. Derek Carr doesn't throw it further than 8 yards. The defense is weird. There's just nothing that excites me about the Raiders, to be honest.
I think there is. I think Brian Edwards is a massive buy low at the minute. I think Brian Edwards will be the wide receiver one on that team. Jason, me and Jason are massive fans of Brian Edwards. Got injured in the draft process, which was a shame. And then he's obviously got injured in his early stages of his NFL career, but that makes him a massive buy low for me. And he was legit in college. So me and Jason, big fans.
Cool.
Another buy low for me at the minute is Denzel Mims. In fact, we're talking about trades. I did a trade in the Never Sleep Dynasty League. I'm about three quarters of the way through a rebuild at the minute with that team. It's a super flex league. So I traded for Denzel Mims the other day. I'm in need of wide receiver help there. I'm quite comfortable at running back. I've got good young talent at running back. I've got Aaron Jones. I've got David Montgomery, Devin Singletary. I've got nice young talent there, you know. So I thought I would trade my vet running back, Melvin Gordon. So I traded Melvin Gordon, who I think is going to get suspended at the end of the season. Might be for two or three games, but anyway, I think he's going to get suspended. So I traded Melvin Gordon for Denzel Mims in a second round pick. Again, I am in major need of wide receiver. I'm rolling out guys like Greg Ward, people like that at my wide receiver position at the minute. So I was a big fan of Mims in the process. I thought he could have been a first round pick. He went in the second round and he went to the Jets. Now everyone says, we've not seen him. You're probably going to see him this week. But Adam Gase is not going to be there long. So.
Such wood.
I think Mims, I put Mims in the Brian Edwards category. They're both massive buy lows at the minute.
Yeah. I like Mims coming out. It's just really hard to get excited about anything to do with the Jets. Gase has got to go. I really like Darnold. I just want Darnold to get that. Yeah. Just get a good coaching staff behind him, and hopefully people like Mims can flourish off the back of that. That's what we need.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of rounds us off. There's a couple of others: Van Jefferson, Antonio Gandy, Golden. Haven't particularly done anything. I don't know if I'm rushing out to buy either of them two, to be fair. The guy I was picking up in the fifth round of drafts everywhere is Gabriel Davis, actually. who's shown some flashes. I think he's had 3 touchdowns on the year. He's a bit of a slot guy. I think for Davis to succeed, you need Beasley to go, which probably will be at the end of this year. I don't know how... I wouldn't know what his value is at the minute. I don't know what you could buy Gabriel Davis for. But as I say, I picked him up in the fifth round of drafts, and I've been pretty happy with what I've received back so far.
You've got to hope he's been dropped to waivers, really. I don't think he's tradable unless you want to overpay. So, yeah, just got to do what you've got to do.
I'll tell you what, mate, what we'll do tonight then is we'll just do the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the running backs and the Titans next week, because you look absolutely shattered, Tim. I'm not going to lie. I feel for you there, mate. So we'll take a look at the quarterbacks. And, well, my 101 at the quarterback position gets his first start next week.
What a weird time to bring up the tier thing for the Dolphins, to be honest, mate. Everyone says it's been handled badly, but to me, I get it. I think they expected Fitz to not done what he's done, and they always had it planned that Tua would be coming in. I think they know that the future's Tua. It's not Fitz, and I think they've got to start giving him the opportunity. It's just that it's been handled badly, to be honest. But
yeah, mate, it hasn't. I mean, I saw people on there. Fitz, they're 3-3. They're going to make the playoffs. Come on, let's be real, guys. The Dolphins are not going to make the playoffs. Fitzpatrick is Fitzpatrick. Everyone knows what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He's a model pro. I'll give him that. And he can be good for a season or two. But he has these games where he'll go absolutely Ryan Fitzpatrick. and he'll throw like 6 interceptions. You're not going anywhere with him. Two is the future of this team. It's such a redraft mentality that with Fitzpatrick. And it really annoys me. I agree they've handled it badly. I agree they could have handled it a lot better than what they've done. But Tua is the future of that franchise, and there's a reason why he was my number one quarterback in this class. Tua Tagovailoa is a very talented quarterback, and you don't play for Alabama if you don't have talent. That's the story there with Tua. He got injured, which is why he didn't go number one overall. And Joe Burrow had a lights out season. And I had major concerns about Joe Burrow, because we've seen these guys with these one season, like, blow ups, like Trubisky had he was a one season wonder, Mitchell Trubisky, and he's come into the NFL and he's been terrible. Joe Burrow hasn't. I think Joe Burrow is legit from what I've seen. But Tua still is my number one quarterback in this class, and I will stick with it. So you will see how talented Tua is when you see him play.
I'm excited to see Tua, because, you know, unfortunately injuries were what they were, and it meant that there was no real competition for Burrow in that 101. But, you know, it's going to be exciting to see potential franchise quarterback at the Dolphins, because that rebuild could be quite fun. I want to see what direction they go. I want to see what Tua does do. But I mean, if he's anywhere near what Herbert's come in and done, mate, then you know, you the Dolphins will have made that right decision. But they're playing now for next year. You know that they've still got a ton of picks for next year, haven't they? So
yeah, of course. And you know, again, I just go back. It's such a redraft mentality. People going off on Twitter. It's just, it's pathetic. It really is. You don't play for Alabama if you're not. You've got to be very good to play for Alabama.
Yeah.
Tua reminds me. He's a cross between Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. that's what you're going to get. And that's exciting for the Dolphins. And people go, oh, they haven't got an O-line. The O-line's terrible. Kyler Murray doesn't have an O-line. It doesn't really affect him.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson doesn't have an O-line. It doesn't really affect him. This is what Tua is and has the potential to be. And for me, he's my number one for that reason. I mean, I'm not going to argue with anyone that said Joe Burrow was their number one either, because Joe Burrow has been very good. It's my concerns with him is what I've said. I'm not a fan of one season wonders. I want to see it over multiple years. But he's proved me wrong. He's come into the NFL and he looks legit. And the Bengals have certainly got their franchise quarterback there. But he still, for me, would be my dynasty rookie number two at this position.
Yeah, I think Burrow's looked great, to be fair to him. You know, one season wonder in college, but what a one season wonder. And I think he's
great.
He's shown he can ball in the NFL. Whether or not he's going to end up, you know, top tier QBs, I don't know. But I mean, we've already spoke about Dalton tonight. He's a massive upgrade on Dalton, huge upgrade.
Yeah.
And he is the future of that franchise, and that's going to be exciting. So again, between hopefully the conversation between Tua and Burrow is the same conversation that we had about CD and Jefferson before. Hopefully you're picking between a Ferrari and a Lamborghini.
Yep.
Now's Tua's
time. I think you will be. The third option here is Justin Herbert. I thought Herbert made a mistake going back to college, which I think is what affected his draft stock a bit. If he'd come out the year before, I think the Giants would have drafted him. Now, that's probably a good thing that they didn't, but he has been brilliant. The only problem is the Chargers haven't won a game since he's come in. But that is not on him. He has been brilliant. I've still got issues. I have issues with Oregon quarterbacks, and this goes back to Marcus Mariota. But he does a lot of things well, and I wasn't on, again, it's not like Marvin Diggs, but it's just like, again, it's a redraft mentality. People going about Tyrod Taylor in the offseason. Oh, you should draft him above Tua. You should draft him above Herbert in Superflex leagues. No, you shouldn't. Tyrod Taylor was always going to get benched. I don't care. It took the doctors to do it in LA, but the guy, he was always getting benched, mate. He was always getting benched at some point this season. And I'm glad we've seen it. And I really don't want to see that experiment again, ever again, with Tyrod Taylor.
I don't see why anyone would, to be honest. There's going to be plenty of other serviceable quarterbacks who can come in for a few games and help rookies get on the way. And I don't think Tyrod's the guy, to be honest. With Herbert, is the biggest thing that we said in the offseason when he got drafted there is pick up Mike Williams on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's proven in abundance. Yep. He's that arm, he's got a cannon of arm, he's pretty accurate with it. But what I also love as well, which is probably going to be his downfall, is he loves a hit. He loves dishing out a hit, and he loves receiving a hit. He goes all out to with these linebackers and everything. He challenges them. It's going to hurt him, but he's, you know, his willingness to put himself himself on the line for the team is something that I've seen Dak do, which is now to his detriment. But if you've got that will and that desire, I think it spreads throughout your team. Your team know that you're there to fight and battle blood, sweat and tears. And that's a mentality thing that you don't see in the combine. You don't see in other things. He's taken on a completely new offense. You know, he'd only ever played Wildcat, I think, or he'd only ever played shotgun, because that's what Oregon did.
Yeah. Which is why I'd be concerned with him.
Yeah.
It's the same as Mariota.
Yeah. But you see he's taken that on. His arm talent is that good that if you can teach him a way to play, you're going to get a hell of a quarterback. And I think that's shown. And, you know, there's only three good QBs realistically in this year's draft. And it's nice to see two of them hitting that level that we thought, and the next one getting a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan Love, I mean, if you're in the Superflex League, maybe worth just floating a few offers out about. Aaron Rodgers has looked very good this year, apart from the last game, I think he looked good for the first 10 minutes and then it went all a bit wrong for them.
If you've got Derek Carr and you're not doing very well, chuck out an offer for Carr and something for Herbert or something like that. Just try and get in your dynasty, try and get these young QBs, because they're going to be your gold for 2-3 years, especially in super flex leagues.
But you could probably have, if you're in a rebuild, I'd go offer out Derek Carr for Jordan Love, for example. Because Jordan Love's I think you're going to be waiting 3 or 4 years at least. But he's learning behind one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably worth just floating an offer out. I would buy him. I would buy him over Jalen Hurts, because the Eagles seem to want to use Jalen Hurts like Taysom Hill, which I just don't get at all. And I actually put a tweet out the other day about fair play to Wentz last night. He really shut me up. He really looked good last night. But I put a tweet out, how long till we see Jalen Hurts as the QB for the Eagles? Because Wentz has looked poor all year. I have my own feelings about Wentz, and maybe it's for a different pod, but I think the Eagles have done Wentz a real dirty.
Yeah.
That's probably for another pod anyway. But I'm not rushing out to buy Jalen Hurts, but Jordan Love, I would float an offer about.
Yeah.
In Superflex.
Yeah. Also, I think if you've got an elite QB, and you need to rebuild, I'd be taking one of these young rookies and getting something else for him, because that's going to be gold, and that, like I said, that's your future. So go and do that. Try and get any one of these three. Give out Aaron Rodgers's, give out your Deshaun Watson's, and go and get those if you can trade. You know, I've recently just swapped Mahomes for Watson and a first, I think, and I was absolutely made up with that. We'll talk trades in a minute, but if you can do that, get the rookies, get whoever you've got, then I think that's your best way to rebuild with those rookie QBs.
Yep, no, I agree. Let's have a look. See what listener questions we've got this week. I know we answered Kev's one, didn't we?
Yeah, I've got a few.
All right, you read them out then, if you've got them.
I've got a couple from the retweet that I did. What's your value on Jamal Williams and Bernard, especially after the news of Jones and Mixon? It's short term.
I'm not rushing out to buy either of them two. And for me, we haven't done our rookie running backs tonight, but we will do next week. But AJ Dillon is the one you want for Green Bay.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think they view and Jones's production is elite. So you don't get the short term person. You try and get the elite one while he's out and injured, to be honest. Don't rush out and get them. Mr. Bojangles, so Craig, what's Tua worth now? Hold or sell? I mean, it's a massive hold. There's no point selling now before you've seen him be an NFL QB.
I don't see the point in selling someone that you've held onto all year anyway. until you've actually seen him play in the NFL. So no, I'm not selling him. And I think you'd find it very difficult to buy him.
Yeah.
And especially Craig, as you're in multiple leagues with me, you would find it difficult to buy him, because it's going to cost you a lot to get him off me.
Yeah, and with any kind of rational owner, you're looking at a player in a first, because you don't give up a QB that's starting in season, really. In Superflex, it's tough to get him. There was top three rookie of the year right now.
Justin Jefferson, Joe Burrow,
Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson, James Robinson. James Robinson probably over Burrow, to be honest. So, yeah, it'd be Jefferson, Robinson. I'd probably have Robinson number one, actually, to be fair, because I think he's been brilliant. So, yeah. Robinson, Jefferson, Burrow.
Yeah, I think that's probably similar for me. There's, you know, except for that, you can take out any number of people on that.
Yeah.
Who's better for the rest of the season, Thielen or Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson. Because Thielen will draw all the coverage.
I think it might flip a bit. I'm torn. I think Thielen will start to get more looks, but only to if they are tanking, if they're doing as bad as we think they're going to do, then you know they're going to start wanting to protect their assets, and they're going to let Thielen take a few more hits, so they'll start chucking it more to him. They know Jefferson's legit now, so what's the point in keeping throwing to him when he could get injured?
Yeah.
That's all the ones I can see.
Is that all the ones off the Commander as well?
Yeah. Let's have a look.
I'll have a look. Yeah, I think that is it.
With the 59th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Roberto Aguayo, kicker, Florida State.
Right, guys, the time has come for the world-famous Robbie Aguayo corner, where it'll either be a hit or, more often than not, a wide, wide right miss. And I get the pleasure of doing that this week because there's no Mr. Happy. But, Jack, what have you got, mate?
I haven't really got anything.
I've got one. I'll give you something. I mean, mine's quite an easy one. Like I said before, been away. Went to Centre Parks for 4 days. So it's a massive hit for me because the places, you can see people going around sanitising it all the time. Everything was super clean when we got into the place. And it's just massive for the kids. It's exactly what life should be like for the kids right now. They should have that ability to go and just go wherever they want and experience life. And we shouldn't be holding them back from it because of this virus that potentially doesn't affect them. And it just taps on wood because you don't want to bring anything on that might not. But they had such a good time. I just say, you know, for a break in this country, that's been mega. I know it's not necessarily the cheapest, especially the shops and pubs and stuff in there, but mate, it's just really good to get away, not be on the internet, not see any of the politics shite, and just be able to just spend some time with the kids. So that's been a massive hit for me, and it's nice to be back, even though I am absolutely knackered, which Jack's pointed out. it's been a great week. So that's my hit, mate.
I don't really know what mine would be, actually. I suppose it'd be a miss, wouldn't it, really? So it's all the usual stuff on Twitter, the politics stuff. I just put a tweet out earlier about it. It's just people moaning about, I get it. Like the meal thing that Marcus Rashford's doing at the minute, what Marcus Rashford is doing is amazing. But I get it. I get why people get annoyed about it. But just go and do something. I'm not trying to big myself. I'm not one for that anyway. But like, I put a tweet out saying that I was going to set up a best ball league. I filled it within an hour and we raised £200. Just go and do something. Don't go on there and moan. Just go and do something about it. Like, you can't change who's in charge. Like, the only way you can do that is when there's an election. Go and vote when there's an election. If you don't vote, you don't really have the right to moan.
Moaning achieves nothing. You can be unhappy with something, but exactly like what you said, if you want something positive to happen, then have a positive reaction. that positive reaction is to go out and get something, get it done. You've shown it with that league. Marcus Rashford's showing it by using his position to be able to elevate the conversation because it's something that that's close to his heart. He could sit there and piss and moan, or he could just chuck money at it, but he's not. He's taken his voice and he's used it. And if you've got a voice on this subject, then go out and use it for good. I'm not a big one for petitioning. I'm not a big one for riots or anything like that. I'm like, can you come up with something, or can you see that somebody's come up with a good idea? Jump on the back of it and really promote and enforce that. If it's something that is that close to your heart, go and do it, because there's zero point just pissing in everyone's ear or fingertips.
Yeah, it just annoys me. Like you go on there, like, you know, somebody COVID stuff at the minute as well. Like, oh yeah, like this and that. Just go and about it. Do something. Just turn something into a positive. Do something about it. Yeah, that's it really. I don't really want to leave it on the sour note, because I'll leave it with that then. I'll leave it with that we raised £200 in the space of about an hour. So just do stuff like that. Just, you know, and thank you for everyone that got involved in that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the positive, that, you know, there's £200 there to go towards kids who need the food, need the money for food. So, yeah, look out for more fundraising activities from Kickers Matter and Jack, because that's what we want to do.
Yeah, and shout out to McDonald's as well. They said, like, you know, people give McDonald's a bad rep, but they said they'd provide, like, I can't remember what the number was now. I think it's like a million worth of meals, like, in this country to kids. Like,
it's class. No milkshakes, though, because the machine's always broke, so...
Well, yeah, it always is. It's always got to be vanilla, mate. Vanilla milkshake. yeah, just, you know, just go and do something. Don't be negative.
Use your aggression for good.
Exactly. You can find us on Twitter at @kickers_matter, our website kickersmatterfantasyfootball.co.uk. And that's us done for the evening. If you could go on, give us a like, a review. Cheers, guys.
See you later, guys.